Chapter 132. Came to see, oh, such a dreadful old stony woman from the country in a turban in Portland Place, and I said I wouldn't go up with Ma, but would drive round and leave carts for the Boffins, which is taking a liberty with the name. But oh my goodness, I am distracted, and the Phaeton's at the door, and what would Pa say if he knew it? ' don't ye be timid, my dear, said Mrs. Boffin. You came in to see us. Oh, no, I didn't, cried Georgina. It's very impolite, I know, but I came to see my poor Sophronia, my only friend. Oh, how I felt the separation, my dear Sophronia, before I knew you were brought low in the world, and how much more I feel it now. There were actually tears in the bold woman's eyes, as the soft-headed and soft-hearted girl twined her arms about her neck. But I've come on business, said Georgina, sobbing and drying her face, and then searching in a little reticule, and if I don't dispatch it, I shall have come for nothing, and oh good gracious! What would Pa say if he knew of Sackville Street, and what would Ma say if she was kept waiting on the doorsteps of that dreadful turban, and there never were such pawing horses as ours unsettling my mind every moment more and more, when I want more mind than I have got, by pawing up Mr. Boffin's street, where they have no business to be. Oh, where is it? Oh, I can't find it. All this time sobbing, and searching in the little reticule. What do you miss, my dear? Asked Mr. Boffin, stepping forward. Oh, it's little enough, replied Georgina, because Ma always treats me as if I was in the nursery. I am sure I wish I was. But I hardly ever spend it, and it has mounted up to £15, Sophronia, and I hope 3 5-pound notes are better than nothing, though so little. And now I have found that, oh, my goodness. There's the other gone next. Oh no, it isn't, here it is. With that, always sobbing and searching in the reticule, Georgina produced a necklace. Ma says chits and jewels have no business together, pursued Georgina, and that's the reason why I have no trinkets except this, but I suppose my Aunt Hawkinson was of a different opinion, because she left me this, though I used to think she might just as well have buried it, for it's always kept in jeweler's cotton. However, here it is, I am thankful to say, and of use at last, and you'll sell it, dear Sophronia, and buy things with it. Give it to me, said Mr. Boffin, gently taking it. I'll see that it's properly disposed of. Oh, are you such a friend of Sophronia's, Mr. Boffin? Cried Georgina. Oh, how good of you. Oh, my gracious. There was something else, and it's gone out of my head. Oh no, it isn't, I remember what it was. My grandmama's property, that'll come to me, when I am of age, Mr. Boffin, will be all my own, and neither Pa nor Ma nor anybody else will have any control over it, and what I wish to do it so make some of it over somehow to Sophronia and Alfred, by signing something somewhere that'll prevail on somebody to advance them something. I want them to have something handsome to bring them up in the world again. Oh, my goodness me. Being such a friend of my dear Sophronia's, you won't refuse me, will you? No, said Mr. Boffin, it shall be seen to. Oh, thank you. Cried Georgina. If my maid had a little note and half a crown, I could run round to the Pastrycook's to sign something, or I could sign something in the square, if somebody would come, and cough for me to let them in with the key, and would bring a pen and ink with them, and a bit of blotting paper. Oh, my gracious! I must tear myself away, or Pa and Ma will both find out. Dear Sophronia, goodbye. The credulous little creature again embraced Mrs. Lammel most affectionately, and then held out her hand to Mr. Lammel. Goodbye, dear Mr. Lammel, I mean Alfred. You won't think after today that I have deserted you and Sophronia because you have been brought low in the world, will you? Oh me. Oh me. I have been crying my eyes out of my head, and Ma will be sure to ask me what's the matter. Oh, take me down, somebody please please please. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Boffin took her down, and saw her driven away, with her poor little red eyes, and weak chin peering over the great apron of the custard-colored phaeton, as if she had been ordered to expiate some childish misdemeanor, by going to bed in the daylight, and were peeping over the counterpane in a miserable flutter of repentance and low spirits. Returning to the breakfast room, he found Mrs. Lammle still standing on her side of the table, and Mr. Lammle on his. I'll take care, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, showing the money and the necklace, that these are soon given back. Apostrophe, Mrs. Lammle had taken up her parasol from a side table, and stood sketching with it on the pattern of the damask cloth, as she had sketched on the pattern of Mr. Twemlow's papered wall. You will not undeceive her, I hope, Mr. Boffin? Apostrophe apostrophe she said, turning her head towards him, but not her eyes. No, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. I mean, as to the worth and value of her friend, apostrophe Mrs. Lammle explained, in a measured voice, and with an emphasis on her last word. No, apostrophe he returned. I may try to give a hint at her home, that she is in want of kind and careful protection, but I shall say no more than that to her parents, and I shall say nothing to the young lady herself. Apostrophe, Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, apostrophe said Mrs. Lammle, still sketching, and seeming to bestow great pains upon it, there are not many people, I think, who, under the circumstances, would have been so considerate and sparing as you have been to me just now. Do you care to be thanked? Apostrophe apostrophe, thanks are always worth having, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin, in her ready good nature. Then thank you both. Apostrophe, Sophronia, apostrophe asked her husband, mockingly, are you sentimental? Apostrophe, well, my good sir, apostrophe Mr. Boffin interposed, it's a very good thing, to think well of another person, and it's a very good thing, to be thought well of by another person. Mrs. Lammle will be none the worse for it, if she is. Apostrophe, much obliged. But I asked Mrs. Lammle if she was. Apostrophe, she stood sketching on the tablecloth, with her face clouded and set, and was silent. Because, apostrophe said Alfred, I am disposed to be sentimental myself, on your appropriation of the jewels and the money, Mr. Boffin. As our little Georgina said, 3 5-pound notes are better than nothing, and if you sell a necklace you can buy things with the produce. Apostrophe, if you sell it, apostrophe was Mr. Boffin's comment, as he put it in his pocket. Alfred followed it with his looks, and also greedily pursued the notes until they vanished into Mr. Boffin's waistcoat pocket. Then he directed a look, half exasperated and half jeering, at his wife. She still stood sketching, but, as she sketched, there was a struggle within her, which found expression in the depth of the few last lines the parasol point indented into the tablecloth, and then some tears fell from her eyes. Why, confound the woman, apostrophe exclaimed Lammle, she is sentimental. She walked to the window, flinching under his angry stare, looked out for a moment, and turned round quite coldly. You have had no former cause of complaint on the sentimental score, Alfred, and you will have none in future. It is not worth your noticing. We go abroad soon, with the money we have earned here? Apostrophe apostrophe, you know we do, you know we must. Apostrophe, there is no fear of my taking any sentiment with me. I should soon be eased of it, if I did. But it will be all left behind. It is all left behind. Are you ready, Alfred? Apostrophe, what the deuce have I been waiting for but you, Sophronia? Apostrophe, apostrophe, let us go then. I am sorry I have delayed our dignified departure. Apostrophe, she passed out, and he followed her. Mr. and Mrs. Boffin at the Curiosity softly, to raise a window and look after them as they went down the long street. They walked arm in arm, showily enough, but without appearing to interchange a syllable. It might have been fanciful to suppose that under their outer bearing there was something of the shamed air of two cheats who were linked together by concealed handcuffs. But, not so, to suppose that they were haggardly weary of one another, of themselves, and of all this world. In turning the street corner they might have turned out of this world, for anything Mr. and Mrs. Boffin ever saw of them to the contrary. For, they set eyes on the Lammels nevermore. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.